support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Carbonite, a cloud backup and restore solution for office and home computers. Learn more at carbonite.com. And from Whole Foods Market, where yellow signs identify featured items throughout stores each week. From grass-fed burgers to gluten-free buns, Whole Foods Market, committed to quality standards and planet-friendly practices.
As the presidential nominees campaign, they often deliver the same speech, pounding home the same issues.
Polls came out today, and we have had a rigged system. And we're going to keep our jobs in our country.
I'm Kelly McEvers. What we learn from a Donald Trump stump speech, later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Tonight on 360 North, watch the BBC World News at 7 and Alaska Weather at 7:30. At 8 o'clock, Alaska Silence and Solitude visits Dick Prenicky 20 years after he first built and moved into his wilderness home. The Best of Aviators is next at 9. At 9:30, journey across the Pantanal wetlands into the Bolivian jungle with mineral explorers and discover the world's largest known pocket of gemstones. Tonight on 360 North and 360north.org.
Welcome to a Juno afternoon on Wednesday, September 14th, 2016. I'm your host, Scott Burton. On today's show, we'll get an update on Girl Scout activities with guests Ann Kurland and Allison Cooper. Patrick Murphy will be here to give us a preview of this Saturday's Hank Williams birthday tribute. We'll learn about AWARE's upcoming advocacy training. And we'll get a preview of Saturday's Discover Eagle Crest Day. Those interviews, National Native News, Writer's Almanac, Bird Note, music, and more right here on a Juno afternoon.
With National Native News, I'm Art Hughes, in for Antonio Gonzalez. Organizers staged dozens of demonstrations around the country and even overseas in solidarity with the Standing Rock Sioux tribe's fight against the proposed Dakota Access Pipeline. Protesters cite tribal sovereignty, environmental concerns, and worries over the pipeline's potential effect on Standing Rock's main source of water. Brian Bull reports on one demonstration in Cottage Grove, Oregon.
A small band of activists stood on the corner of 7th and East Main with signs expressing support for the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe or calling for an end to further pipeline construction. Donnie Sevilla is a Cottage Grove resident who claims Cherokee and Choctaw ancestry.
I'm hoping this is the beginning of the change we are all hoping for in our world. And it's our Native American brothers and sisters that are standing up now under duress. A company wants to build a pipeline directly across where their water intake is. That's not healthy for them. It's not healthy for any of the people downriver.
Nearby, fellow activist Annie O'Dean tapped a drum. She says it's also important to recognize the Native nations who are standing up for the sacred. Meanwhile, the Standing Rock tribe has vowed to keep its protests going, even through the harsh cold winter. For National Native News, I'm Brian Bull.
Demonstrators chose a bank in Albuquerque as the backdrop of their Day of Action gathering to highlight the financial supporters of the pipeline project. It was one of at least four protests in the state. Kathleen Wall from Jemez Pueblo, New Mexico, worries last week's order by the Obama administration to temporarily halt construction provides a false sense of victory.
It's a dangerous promise, in my opinion, only because some people may think that it was a solution, and it's by far a solution. You know, it's just a temporary fix, and it's just trying to work out maybe paperwork, and I hate to say it may be trying to work out paperwork on the wrong end. So really, the momentum can't stop.
Wall says she's encouraged so many people are rallying to oppose the project. In a memo to employees this week, Energy Transfer Partners, the company building the pipeline, says the 1,100-mile project is already nearly 60% complete. CEO Kelsey Warren says the company has spent more than $1.6 billion so far and is committed to completing the project. A proposal by Utah officials to set aside land near the Bears Ears area gets its first congressional hearing today. The bill, backed by Utah Republican Rob Bishop, called the Utah Public Lands Initiative, pertains to nearly 1.5 million acres of land in southeastern Utah. It's a controversial bill, opposed by many tribal groups, and competes with a request to President Barack Obama to protect the area by declaring it a national monument. The Navajo Nation and 6 Navajo chapters in Utah support the National Monument Plan. Rebecca Benally, a member of the Navajo Nation and a commissioner for San Juan County in Utah, was scheduled to speak against the monument designation at a hearing with the House Natural Resources Committee. The Public Lands Initiative aims to give tribes a say in how the land is managed, but also allows nearby development, including mining. The Cherokee Nation approved its largest annual budget ever this week. The $934 million budget is more than $167 million more than the current fiscal year spending plan. The new budget year starts October 1st. The Tulsa World reports the budget includes money for a new facility at W.W. Hastings Hospital. A Michigan museum will deliver human remains to the Pokagon Band of Potawatomi under a plan approved this week. The Daily Herald, out of suburban Chicago, reports the Lake County Discovery Museum will return the remains of 34 people to the tribe. The remains were part of the museum's original collection donated in the 1950s. They were on display until 1990. Once returned, they will be ceremonially reburied. With National Native News, I'm Art Hughes.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. For 45 years, NARF has stood firm for justice in Indian country on critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior. Stand firm with NARF. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Wednesday, September 14th, 2016. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 6 minutes after the hour. I've been joined in the studio now by Allison Cooper and Ann Kurland. They are both participants in Girl Scouts here in Juno. Welcome to the show, Allison and Ann. Yeah. Nice to have you on the show. Allison, I was trying to get your position correct. You're the service unit team person. Is that right?
I'm the service unit manager. We have a service unit team that organizes events and helps coordinate troops in town. I just lead that team.
All right. And you're on that team as well?
Yes, that's right. So we're part of the Girl Scouts of Alaska Council, and then each of the bigger communities has what they call a service unit. And the service unit team is just a group of volunteers that tries to coordinate the events locally and support the local volunteers that lead troops and do other things with scouts.
All right. Can one of you sort of describe for our listeners what Girl Scouts looks like in 2016 here in Juneau?
I would love to. And I don't know how many of your listeners were listening to Fresh Air with Terry Gross just a few minutes ago, but Abby Wambach was interviewed. And, you know, she's a world-class soccer player. And she said that her hope is that a 10-year-old girl will be able to do anything that she wants to do in life, and that 10-year-old boys will look at 10-year-old girls and also agree, yeah, they can do anything that they want to. And that is a perfect segue for Girl Scouts, because that is exactly our goal. The Girl Scout leadership experience basically is designed so that age-appropriate ways girls from kindergarten through 12th grade can participate in programs and activities that are girl-led and also involve working together cooperatively and learning by doing. And girl-led is really the key. That's the thing that makes Girl Scouts so special here in Alaska. This is really the premier organization in the state of Alaska for girls to participate in activities that they get to lead. And here in Juneau, that takes lots of forms. We have troops at all ages from kindergarten through 12th grade, and we have a lot of fun activities that we do. We have certain traditional annual events, songs and s'mores, of course, with a campfire. We have an investiture and rededication ceremony on Juliette Gordon-Lowe's birthday every year. She's the founder of Girl Scouts. A girl and her guy dance where girls get to take their dads. And a lot of other kinds of, Allison will talk a little bit about some of the STEM activities and in particular robotics that scouts get to do here in Juneau.
We do. We have, every year we have a large event called Women in Science, and we get folks from all over the community that come in and share their passions and their skills with the girls. So if your girl wants to dissect fish or stitch a teddy bear, the vet came out and taught them to do stitching. We did CPR. I usually teach a robotics thing. We had the high school robotics team out there with their robot. We have, you name it, if it's involving science, we get some organization in town to come and do something really cool. And we just, that's one of my favorite days that Girl Scouts, Girl Scout events here. We have, I coach a couple of robotics teams, so the Girl Scouts sponsor robotics, and we try to incorporate a lot of STEM things into what we do.
Okay. And you said there's about 300 participants. Are those mostly elementary, middle school, or high school, would you say?
We have a pretty good spread right now. We have a good bit of everything.
Okay.
Yeah, we have about 5 troops at each level right now in Juneau, and the levels are Daisy Girl Scouts are in K and 1, Brownies 2 and 3, Junior Girl Scouts are 4 and 5. The middle school scouts we call cadets. And then in high school, there's senior scouts and ambassador scouts.
And you even mentioned sort of a mentorship program, right?
Yeah, so part of my role in the service unit is to be a teen mentor. We really feel like a lot of the best opportunities in scouting are there for the middle school and high school girls. And yet, as you observed, scouting is kind of stereotypically seen as very popular with the elementary age girls, and it's tons of fun for them. There's a lot of great things. But the middle school and high school girls really have leadership opportunities and travel opportunities that are quite unique within Girl Scouting. And so what I try to do is be sure that we offer programs that keep those girls engaged as they enter middle school and continue on through high school so that they don't miss out on really the best that Girl Scouting has to offer.
Were both of you scouts, if I may ask?
I was a Girl Scout through juniors, and I look back, kick myself, and wish I had stayed for the fun stuff, because the fun stuff starts after that, is the way I look at it.
And what is one of your best memories, Allison, from your time as a scout?
When I was a kid?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that father-daughter dance, actually, oddly enough, is one that comes. But also day camp, you know, you learn a lot of things that you would not be exposed to otherwise. It can be an entirely different world.
And you must have really enjoyed it, because here you are as an adult spending time supporting the Girl Scouts.
I did, but I didn't realize how much until later when I started working with the kids. And I enjoy working with the kids more than I enjoyed being a Girl Scout, I must say. I look around at the kids that I've worked with, and it's really cool to see what they've become.
How about you, Anne? What do you like most about it?
Well, I was a Brownie for 1 year and rejoined as an adult when my own daughter started kindergarten, and her friend was a Daisy Girl Scout, and her mom asked if I would co-lead her troop with her, which is really one of the ways that a lot of us do become involved in Girl Scouting. So I've been a volunteer for almost 12 years now, and I have to agree with Allison. I think my favorite part is that I've now known girls here in Juneau that have been scouts for up to 12 years, and I really have got a chance to see them really grow and become leaders. We had four, Allison and I co-lead a Girl Scout troop also, and we had 4 young women graduate from high school in May and go off to college from our troop. And I wouldn't trade the experiences that I've had with them for anything. Probably the best one was going to London last July.
And so if somebody wants to be like you, they can, right? They can volunteer.
I hope there are a lot of listeners out there thinking that they absolutely can't wait to join Girl Scouts with their daughters. So, yes, definitely.
And are you just looking for people with daughters, or are you looking for independent volunteers?
Really anyone at all. We welcome all kinds of volunteers. Men can be Girl Scouts. We even have a T-shirt that says, Man Enough to be a Girl Scout, that you can get. And all ages of adults from 18 and up. So if there's any college students or maybe someone has retired and they're looking for something to do, to be engaged in the community. So absolutely, it's open to everyone.
And also new Girl Scouts themselves. Right?
Absolutely. We have a lot of activities coming up this year, a lot of fun things that we'll be doing, and this is a time to hop in and get engaged with a troop and get off to a great Girl Scout start.
What would you say is one of your, beyond the father-daughter dance, what is another highlight, would you say, for participants, a couple activities?
Well, in Juneau, most of the girls do participate through troops, and I think that the troops really enjoy getting together, and very often the girls within a troop may not necessarily all go to the same school. They may not necessarily all be friends that hang out together at school, but when they get together as a troop, they really do become a close-knit group. And Girl Scouting provides a very safe environment for the girls. It's really quite different from the school environment, I have to say. And I think that the girls feel comfortable kind of stretching out of their comfort zone, doing things that they might not otherwise do in other settings, and take safe risks and really challenge themselves to grow. And the troop is one setting where the scouts do that, and I think I would say a lot of girls would probably say that's their favorite thing. As the scouts get older, travel is a really fun opportunity within scouting, and we have a big event coming up this summer, the first weekend in June. The Girl Scouts of Alaska host what they call Girl Scout Encampment at the Palmer State Fairgrounds. And the scouts all come and camp on the fairgrounds, and it's all Girl Scouts all weekend long, all kinds of fun activities.
I bet. And you two are saying that this is a great time of the year to get involved.
It is. This is when troops are forming, and troops are looking for more girls. They're not yet involved in projects or anything that you'd be in the middle of. So this is the perfect time to get involved.
And what's the best way to do that?
You can check out our website, which is girlscoutsalaska.org, and all the contact information and how to join is on there. And we also have a local phone number that folks can call, and that is 586-1710.
Okay.
And then if I can just mention one of the other things our older girls do. They can work on what we call our highest awards. So they're for different ages. The middle schoolers can earn the bronze award, but the high silver award. But the high schoolers earn what's called a gold award, and it is sometimes compared to the Boy Scout Eagle Scout Award. It's similar in what they do. And so we just had a girl submit her final package. Hopefully will be approved shortly. Jordan has put a website together, so if you like STEM activities and you want to do that, go to JEDC's website, our partners at Juneau Economic Development Council, JEDC.org, STEMAK, and follow the links down for kids, and then Kids Rock Science Activity Library, and she's got like 12 hours of science activities that are on there. And that is what she has put together for her gold award.
Okay. And I bet, what if a listener out there is not sure if they want to sign up? I bet they could come to a troop meeting and check it out, hang out for a little while, test the waters.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I'll go ahead and give you my number, too, if folks are interested in finding out what's going on locally. This is Anne, and my number is 209-6710. We would be delighted to invite you to any of our local Girl Scout events or just get together with you to answer your questions if you'd like to know more.
Okay. Well, thank you both for coming on the show. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
Let me just put a website out. It's easy, GirlScoutsAlaska.org. All sorts of information about what Girl Scouts does, contact information. You can register your girl or you as an adult on there. That would be the place to go.
All right. Allison Cooper and Curlin, thank you both for coming on the show.
Thanks, Scott.
Thanks.
Oh, I wish I were a real Alaskan girl. I wish that I could hold my beer. I could wear hip waders in summer and heels at 10 below. I'd have sexy woolly legs with long and flowing frozen hair. Oh, to be the scout girl in the last frontier, where chicks run the Iditarod and win it. Oh, I could branch on my own goose, and I would jerk my own moose, and I'd drive a huge domestic truck and actually hop up in it. A little less sugar, a little more spice, a whole lot of fire and even more ice. From Kotzebue to Ketchikan, from Dead Horse to Etchew, Alaskan chicks can teach a city girl like me a thing or two. Oh, I wish I were a real Alaskan girl, because I hear that they kick ass. Oh, it's easy to see why a local woman's in demand. The guys that took you up for years to get a chance to hold your hand. I'd find me some big burly bush pilot boy. I would hook and reel him in and fiance him. But if he ever double crossed me or tried to do me wrong, I wouldn't hardly hesitate to skin, gut, and fillet him. I'd shoot more than a camera at the animals and such. I'd eat Rudolph for breakfast and Bullwinkle for lunch. Oh, Alaskan girls are fearsome and fearless by design. They kill mosquitoes with a look and mess the trusting tourist mind. They're ruggedly handsome in their way. They're wild and free and meant to be that way. So from Jackalope to Juno, raise a glass to a proud and confident and deserving Alaskan woman, you know. And from Beaver to Tatidlick, here's to ladies who understand that their self-image should have nothing whatsoever to do with their shade of a lipstick. Oh, I wish I were a real Alaskan girl, but when it comes down to it, for most of us, Los Anchorage is gonna have to do it.
Program support provided by Kindred Post, a full-service post office, gift shop, and community gathering space located downtown at 145 South Franklin Street and open 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. More information at kindredpost.com or on Instagram at kindred_post.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Wednesday, September 14th, 2016. Scott Burton, your host. It's about 21 minutes after the hour. In the studio now is Patrick Murphy, and he is the organizer of this Saturday's Hank Williams Birthday Tribute at the Red Dog. Welcome to the show, Patrick.
Thanks, Scott.
All right. If people don't know you, among other things, you're a teacher, a musician.
Music teacher, yep.
Am I missing anything else?
Songwriter.
Songwriter.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And you share a birthday with Hank Williams.
I do. And one of my favorite music buddies, Ben Higdon. If you see the posters around town, my band is Donkey Cart. And Ben plays in Donkey Cart, and we've been playing together for a few years. And we've been playing music together for 15 years. And we learned early on that we shared a birthday. And we both knew that we shared it with Hank. And so for about 17 years, we've been saying, we should spend our birthday playing Hank Williams songs. We should spend our birthday playing Hank Williams songs. And we haven't. And so this year I noticed it was on a Saturday in late August. I thought, boy, it'd be fun to put together a show. I was still in Iowa. I had nothing organized. I contacted my bandmates, and they were like, yeah, let's do it. So I put the word out, and there were a lot of people interested. I mean, he's the grandfather of American country music and just such a great book of literature and music to play. And so we were looking for a venue, and then the Red Dog welcomed us in, and you know, the swinging saloon doors in Hank Williams. I didn't think I could get any better than that. So it's this Saturday. It starts at 8 o'clock. It's free. And we're playing, and Riley Woodford, and I'm really stoked about this. What a great lineup. Riley Woodford's playing, and Sammy Burroughs and Dan Kirkwood are all playing.
All right.
I'm really stoked.
Great lineup.
That. Yeah.
So beyond sharing the birthday, what are your other connections with Hank?
My grandma taught me, well, she tried for hours one afternoon, tried to teach me how to two-step to Hey, Hey, Good Lookin'.
How old were you at the time?
Oh, maybe 5 or 6. It was on vinyl, too. She had a vinyl, you know. And I'm a terrible dancer, still am. And my grandma said after about an hour, she said, oh, sweetie, maybe you can play in the band. And so I kind of gave up my dancing career, and I started to think that maybe someday I could play in the band, and now, of course, I do. And Hank has always been really powerful music to me. The band I'm playing with a few years ago, we were invited to do a school benefit concert, and we play mostly original music, and I'm really inspired by the AM country sound, and so we were going to do this gig, and I thought, well, instead of doing originals, let's do stuff people would know, and so we chose a theme, and that night we chose all Johnny Cash songs, and we decided to try to emulate that, the arrangements, and so we copied, like, even on Ring of Fire, we transcribed out the trumpet parts and the violin parts, and we really tried to, like, wonder why they were such great crafted recordings, you know, and dig in, and so Donkey Cart's really into that. For Folk Fest last year, we did a set of dances, all music that was pre-1965 country, and same thing, going through and just trying to jukebox it and tear it apart and analyze why is it beautiful, you know? I mean, everybody teases about country music only being about dogs and trucks and beer and whatever, but if you look at Hank's book of tunes and you really listen to his recordings, the first thing I noticed when we got together is everybody who covers this stuff plays too fast, first of all. And then they play too many fills. And he had 3 lead players in his band almost all the time. He had a lap steel and a fiddle and a lead guitar player. And they're never playing at the same time. That stark landscape and that discipline to not fill in the space, I think, is what makes his recordings really beautiful. And so, and our band has changed over the years, but it was a 6-piece band and then a 5-piece band. And the hardest thing, I think, about that is not to be too jammy. You know, or otherwise you're a jam band. And so you look at Hank and you listen to his recordings, like, why does that work so great? Or new bands like the Drive-By Truckers that have 8 people in it, you're like, why is that so beautiful? And it's that discipline, I think, about space and landscape. And so we're approaching our set of tunes that way. And we really went through and we jukebox leads, you know, transcribe parts, and really trying to stay in that feel, which for me is super challenging because vocal-wise, my voice is a lot lower than Hank's, and there's certain keys I don't sing in and certain yodeling effects and things that he does that aren't in my wheelhouse. And so how I thought it was interesting, how can I really give that tune its due and not fill in that space? How do we keep that space there? So that's kind of how we approached it, and it was really a fun way to work on this project for us.
Excellent. So, like, the aesthetics of the music, the arrangements. What about a songwriting? Is that something you connect to?
I do. I really have I have a rural background and was raised on a farm and raised around country music, and so for me, yeah, the songwriting I think is great, and I think Hank has this funny line between, like, dirtbag and broken-hearted troubadour, you know? You have one song where he's, like, touting what a loser he was and how many women he torqued off or whatever, and then the next song just describing this stark, cold loneliness that you can't even begin to compare to when you think about your own life, and whether it's fictional or not, how he can convey that. Like, I think his song, he really walks an interesting line of where he puts himself in the song, I think.
And he died at, what, 29?
29 years old. He would have been 93 this year. And that was a telling thing for me, too. I have relatives approaching their 90s. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, this uncle or this cousin, they're almost that age. And here was this guy that turned Western music on its ear. And today, I think we wouldn't even have rock and roll without him. Like, I just think that he's the backbone of Western pop music in so many ways. Maybe Woody Guthrie in there, too. And he was done by 29. And he left behind just such a huge library of music and beautiful music.
Okay, so this Saturday, You can hear a lot of that library, I imagine. 8 p.m. doors open.
8 p.m.
The swinging doors.
Yes. Yeah. No dogs, no firearms. Flip I would open. Imagine.
8 p.m. It's free at the Red Dog Saloon.
Yep.
Sawdust and all, I bet.
Sawdust is still on the floor, which a lot of people kind of rolled their eyes when they thought about that still being on the floor, and I was stoked. I thought that would be perfect for this.
It's fireproof, so.
Yeah, that's right, that's right.
And Donkey Cart, Patrick Murphy's band here, Riley Woodford, Sammy Burroughs, Dan Kirkwood. What time do you think this will go to?
I'm not sure. We're playing Donkey Cart's doing a set, I think, of 13 or 14 songs. So ours, that's about an hour, a little over an hour. I think everybody else is picking between 6 and 8. I was really stoked because I didn't police anybody, but I was really excited when I realized that none of us were double covering any of the songs, which surprised me because there's so many great ones you'd think everybody would want to do I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry, or Hey Hey Good Looking. But there's a big range of songs and some that I'm not even that familiar with, which is I was really excited by.
I was just thinking closing time for Hank Williams, when would that have been, like 5 a.m.?
Probably 5 a.m.
You guys should probably play all night.
Probably play all night, yeah, and dances, and those guys. And I think that's the thing, too, is our approach was we really wanted to try to get that open sound and then kind of that dance tempo, that medium two-step tempo with the band. So.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun, Patrick. That's this Saturday night, Hank Williams' birthday, September 17th. 1923, he was born. You can go see this tribute at the Red Dog. Are we missing anything? Anything you want to add?
I don't think so. Just come down and enjoy some great music and some great artists. And just want to thank Riley and Sam and Dan for doing this with us. So that way we knew we could just like focus on what we want to do and we could still present a nice full evening of music. So we're all really excited.
Thanks, Patrick. Right,
thanks.
Cowboy hat, cowboy shoes, Grand Ole Opry, sing lovesick blues. Strum the guitar, now you're moving fast. The tragic way of life would not last. Cold, cold heart, down on the bayou. I can't help it if I'm still in love with you. But the ghosts of your songs, Lord, they still linger on in the shadows of a honky-tonk saloon. Empty bottles, lonely motel rooms. You hold a photograph of a bride and groom. You write a few lines about a wedding day. You feel your full heart start to fade away. Cold, cold heart down on the bayou. I can't help it if I'm still in love with you. But the ghost of your songs, Lord, they still linger on in the shadows of a honky-tonk saloon. Whiskey breath, doctor, dope your veins. Put you in a Cadillac, put you on a train. Out on the road, driving all those miles. So much pressure drives a farm boy wild. Cold, cold heart, down on the bayou. I can't help it if I'm still in love with you. But the ghost of your songs, Lord, they still linger on in the shadows of a honky-tonk saloon. New Year's Eve, in West Virginia. A winding road on a mountain steep, and all that pain you had to suffer came to an end on that back seat. Cold, cold heart down on the bayou. I can't help it if I'm still in love with you. But the ghost of your songs, Lord, they still linger on in the shadows of a honky-tonk saloon. In the shadows of a honky-tonk saloon.
Support comes from the Alaska Robotics Gallery, offering art that features narwhals, squid, and flying whales, located at 220 Front Street in downtown Juneau. More information at alaskarobotics.com.
You're listening to a Juneau Afternoon here on Wednesday, September 14th, 2016. I'm your host, Scott Burness, about 34 minutes after the hour. Joining me in the studio now is Rebecca Gagin. She's the volunteer coordinator at AWARE. Welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's nice to have you here. For those folks that may not know what AWARE is, tell us about it.
AWARE is a shelter in town that helps support women and children who are in abuse or sexual danger in their homes.
Okay. And what, AWARE, you were just telling me about the acronym. What does it stand for?
It stands for Aiding Women in Abuse and Rape Emergencies.
Okay.
And we don't just, we are a shelter, but we don't just do shelter work. We can also help fill out protective orders. We help people by accompanying them to court. We have children's therapy. We've got, try to help in as many different ways as we can.
Okay. And the physical location is Willoughby, Old Glacier Highway,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
What would you say is one of the services you provide most? You just listed many.
Well, advocacy, actually, since I'm here to talk about our advocacy training. That is, more than anything, we try to advocate for women and children that are in vulnerable situations.
Okay. And so there's an advocacy training that starts tomorrow. Tell us a little bit about that.
It's a 40-hour training. It begins tomorrow, Thursday, September 15th, and then it'll meet for the next 2 weeks, all day on the weekends from 9:30 till about 4:30 or 5, and then Monday and Thursday evenings from 5:30 to 8:30. And it was originally called our volunteer training because it's a way for people that are interested in volunteering with AWARE to get a really general picture of what it is we do as an organization. It talks a lot about the different services we offer, and it also is a good training for people that are just interested in feminism and how to help women. It talks about oppression. It talks a lot about the patriarchy, hierarchy of needs, that kind of thing.
And can an advocate be a man or a woman?
Absolutely.
Okay. And you've sort of covered this already, I guess, but what are a few things that an advocate might do specifically? What's something that they might do to help one of your consumers or one of your participants?
Participants,
okay.
Yeah. Advocacy is working with people to inform them of their options and support them in making their own decisions while moving forward from violent relationships or incidents. The main thing I heard, I just took the advocacy training myself back in the spring, and it was support the person, not the plan. Because you're not in that person's shoes, so you don't necessarily understand what is a plan for them, and what feels safe to them might be very different than what you think is safe. And so it's just about supporting the person and empowering them to make their own decisions.
Okay. So again, this is Mondays and Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
Outline that again for us, please.
It is a 40-hour training that meets all day Saturday and Sunday, and then Monday and Thursday evenings, and it starts tomorrow, Thursday, at 5:30.
And what's the location?
It'll be at our administrative offices, which is on Old Glacier Highway.
All right. If somebody wants to sign up or more information, what should they do?
Please give me a call,
all right.
Rebecca Gagin, at 586-6623, or you can send me an email at BeccaG@awareak.org.
All right. Is there anything else you'd like to tell our listeners about this class?
We are still accepting registrations. If you can't make the whole training, that's totally fine. We'd like people to come and get as much information as they can. The full schedule is available on our website. So if there's just certain classes, last training we had a lot of people from different community organizations come specifically for the substance abuse and how that affects DV and SA, which is domestic violence and sexual assault, because as we know, that is unfortunately a big problem in our community right now.
You know, I thought of one more question. You said you just took this class yourself in the spring,
in
right?
In the spring, yeah.
What's the atmosphere like? What's it look like to be a participant in this?
It's a lot like taking a class. You have someone, we've got PowerPoints, videos, but it's also very open to discussion and questions. There were some really interesting discussions that come up. And sometimes people disagree with what we say, and the presenters want to hear about that, and they want to talk to you about that.
And who generally are your presenters?
It's the staff at AWARE. So it's okay. People that are doing this every day, that have the experience, that have the knowledge.
All right. Give us that contact info once more, please.
It's Rebecca Gagin at AWARE, 586-6623, or email me at BeccaG@awareak.org.
All right, Rebecca, thank you for coming in. Anything else that you'd like to add?
I just hope to see you all there.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 14th of September, 2016. It was on this day, 1741, George Friedrich Handel finished his oratorio, Messiah. He'd gotten the libretto in July, worked at a furious pace, doing nothing else, just composing morning to night, got it done in about 24 days. It was originally written for the Easter season, and it was first heard in Dublin at a charity concert the following April. The Dublin News Letter reported that Messiah, quote, far surpassed anything of that nature which has been performed in this or any other kingdom, unquote. It was on this day, 1814, a lawyer named Francis Scott Key wrote his poem Defense of Fort McHenry, which we know as the Star-Spangled Banner. It was the War of 1812. The British had marched into Washington, D.C. They'd burned the Capitol and the White House, then moved on to Baltimore, which was a major port city defended by Fort McHenry, and they began bombarding it with 1,500 bombs, rockets, and cannonballs. But in the morning, the American flag was still flying, and Francis Scott Key scribbled down some ideas for a poem, finished it later that day at his hotel. Within days, it had circulated, was being sung to the tune of a drinking song to Anacreon in Heaven. Did not become our official national anthem until 1931. The flag that flew over the fort, 30 by 42 feet, was preserved, and it is now in the Smithsonian in Washington. Here's a poem for today by William Clefcorn, My Love for All Things Warm and Breathing. I have seldom loved more than one thing at a time, yet this morning I feel myself expanding, each part of me soft and glandular, and under my skin is room enough now for the loving of many things, and all of them at once, these students, especially, not only the girl in the yellow sweater, whose name, Laura Buxton, is somehow the girl herself, Laura, for the coy, green, mellowing eyes, Buxton for all the rest, but also the simple girl in blue on the back row, her mouth sad beyond all reasonable inducements, and the boy with the weight problem, his teeth at work even now on his lower lip, and the grand profusion of hair and nails and hands and legs and tongues and thighs and fingertips and wrists and throats, yes, of throats, especially throats, through which passes the breath that joins the air that enters through these ancient windows, that exits, that takes with it my own breath inside this room just now, my love for all things warm and breathing that lifts it high to scatter it fine and enormous into the trees and the grass, into the heat beneath the earth, beneath the stone, into the boundless lust of all things bound but gathering. A poem by William Clefcorn, My Love for All Things Warm and Breathing, from his collection Cottonwood County, published by Windflower Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by Lumosity, with a 10-minute fit test to calculate baseline scores and training programs with 50 challenging brain games. Learn more at lumosity.com. And by TIAA, whether it's investing, advice, banking, or retirement, TIAA is committed to helping those who do good do well. Learn more at TIAA.org. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
You're listening to a Juno Afternoon here on Wednesday, September 4th, 2016. It's about 15 minutes until the top of the hour. And joining me now in the studio is Matt Lillard. He is the general manager at Eagle Crest, and Jeff Reclau, who is the director of sales and marketing. And among other things, we're going to talk about Saturday's Discover Eagle Crest Days. Welcome to the show, you two.
Thanks for having us on the show this afternoon, Scott.
Yeah, it's nice to have you here. So Discover Eagle Crest Day, a fun way to start thinking about the ski season, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of our annual kickoff to fall and the upcoming winter. It's a great event. It's, I believe, our eighth annual Discover Eagle Crest Day.
That's correct.
And it's just a great way to come up and check out what's going on, see what's new. Check out your locker, get into a new locker potentially, check out snow sports programs, just a whole lot going on. It's a really fun day.
And I think it's a great day if you've never been up to Eagle Crest, or you've just moved to town and you're wondering, you know, what's this ski area, what's Eagle Crest all about? So it is a great day. It's not just for season pass holders, but if you're new to the community or you're looking for a new wintertime activity, we invite you to come on up. And we've got activities for all ages on Saturday, starting at 10 a.m.
All right. You want to tell us about a few of those activities? It looks great.
Sure. We've got Alaska. We've paired up with Alaska Zipline Adventures, and they're offering a couple of specially priced tours. So you need to make advance reservations for that, and you can find the information on our website at skijuno.com. We're going to run the Porcupine Chairlift from 11 a.m. until 2:45, so you can get free lift rides up the Porcupine Chair, and then you'll walk down, and Juno Public Library is going to do a going on a bear hunt story path down from the top of Porcupine, so that should be good fun.
Yeah, we've also Fat Mo's Alpine Barbecue will be set up. So you can come up and get some great food and get some great lunch. Glacial Grind Shaved Ice will be up, set up in the base lodge. And as mentioned, the Juno Public Library is also going to have a Lego table set up and some story time so the kids can hang out there. The Down Park Fieldhouse is going to come up and join us and have some fun activities. GCI will be set up. They've got a great cell tower up there, and they're going to have a photo booth for some fun times there. As well as the Juno Ski Club will be holding a fundraising bake sale and doing registration there. And then
Discovery Southeast is going to be up there as well doing their version of disc golf starting at 10 o'clock, so from 10 to 1. So activities for all ages and lots of information. We'll have a mountain safety and awareness table that will give you all sorts of information about that. The Eagle Crest Foundation is going to do, this has become a popular event, a silent auction, so you can get a little piece of Eagle Crest history for your own house or your own ski tech bench. So
come on up and see what the Eagle Crest Foundation has found hiding out underneath the weeds.
Okay. Season passes.
Yeah.
You can get those as well, probably,
definitely.
Right?
It's, now's the best time to buy them. They're at the lowest prices of the season. They went on sale a couple weeks ago. And now through October 16th is the best time to get season passes for the season at the lowest rates. So adults, season passes start out at $449, which is a fantastic deal. You're basically skiing about 10 days, and you got your pass price covered. And then rates vary for different age groups from there on down. We've also got locker sales going on, so we've got a lot more inventory in lockers. With the advent of the Porcupine Lodge, we were able to create some more lockers last year. And those rates actually go up after Sunday. So you can still lock in last year's discounted rate for lockers. Both family and individual lockers are available and on sale. So especially if you're a frequent user, it's a fantastic way to leave your gear up at the mountain. I always say once you get a locker, you never want to get rid of it because it's an amazing feature to have all your stuff waiting for you.
All right. And we were talking earlier, the ski swap is what, November 5th this year?
November 5th. So that's kind of coming down the road as well. And so if you're needing to get new gear this season or you've got kids and we know how those kids grow, we're also going to offer snow sports school gear or snow sports gear sizing in the Porcupine Lodge on Saturday at Discovery Eagle Crest Day. So you can come on up. You can get fit for ski boots or snowboard boots or bring your four-year-old and see what size they're in. So that's a great option available as well.
If we have listeners who aren't part of the ski community or haven't discovered skiing, I know you two have been doing it for a long time. What is it that you love so much about the sport?
It's being outside and the thrill of sliding, letting gravity take a hold of you. You know, and I think just exploring the winter, it allows you to be able to go places in the snow that you can't go when you're walking.
Certainly. And I think, you know, one of the other things I love about skiing is it's a true kind of family group sport. You know, you think a lot of other sports that you know, you're doing as a family, but, you know, you might be coaching your kid in a sport or doing something, but you're not truly doing the same thing together. And skiing is one of those that, you know, you can go up as a family and you're going to spend the whole day or any portion thereof and, you know, just good quality time outside recreating. You know, as Jeffrey mentioned, you know, the sense of exploration you get being up there and kind of on your own to go, you know, wherever you want on the mountain is something really special to me and what I think is a huge aspect of what the sport of skiing and riding is.
Okay, and coming up on Saturday would be a great introduction to all of that, right?
It would be, and you can sign up for all of our multi-week snow sports school programs, or if you're just, again, looking to find out more information, what is this skiing, what is snowboarding all about, come on up and we'll get you some information, and you can kind of see what it is. Eagle Crest is a great facility right outside your back door if you live in Juneau, and we're just going to invite everybody to come on up and experience it, and you can find all the information on us at skijuneau.com, or you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well.
All right, you two, in a perfect world, when are we opening this year? Tell me about it.
Well, the schedule today is December 3rd. Last year, we actually got some early snow and a real open Thanksgiving weekend, and we'd certainly love to get that again. So, you know, as the snow comes, we start evaluating conditions there in November, and, you know, we're going to try to do everything we can to make skiing and riding happen as early as possible. So we're looking at kind of first week in December, you know, last week in November.
Do either of you have like a snow dance or something that you do every year as a ritual to pray for snow, as they say?
Oh, I think there's little rituals. I don't know. For me, I don't know if it's exactly a dance, but it's starting to, you know, kind of switch over to that winter gear, and then you start looking at the skis and pulling them out and go, okay, what's the new idea going to be for this year? And just starting to get that itch of feeling the urge to make some turns.
Matt?
Yeah, I think definitely looking at the gear, getting it out. One of the big things for me is the ski movie season starts coming up, so, you know, we'll be doing a Warren Miller premiere late November.
Yep, November 17th and 18th.
End of October, the Alaska Powder Descents will have the Teton Gravity Research film. We'll be doing some more ski movie nights around town. Just all that excitement that starts to build as you get towards the end of October into November is really what's exciting for me.
Great way to spend your time in the dark winter days, right? Up on the mountains.
Absolutely. We look at Juneau as our Eagle Crest is truly Juneau's winter playground.
check it out this Saturday from 10 a.m. Until about
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock this Saturday up at Eagle Crest. Discover Eagle Crest Day. For more information, remind us of the website.
Website is skijuno.com, and you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
All right, Matt Lillard, Jeff Reclow, anything we're missing?
No, we're looking forward to seeing everybody on Saturday, and start thinking snow.
Great, thanks, you too.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to a Juno afternoon today. Tomorrow, Joan Partis will be your host. And she'll speak with Holocaust survivor Irving Roth about his Sunday evening presentation at the Juno Christian Center. Aaron Maloney and Kara Nelson will be here with details about Saturday's recovery art exhibit at the Nugget Mall. And we'll get a preview of the Zahaskys musical presentation that'll be on 360 North tomorrow night. Nancy DeCherney will also be on the show with Arts Up. Let's take a look at the weather here. The forecast for tonight calls for rain, heavy at times, with the lows around 52 and southeast winds around 15 miles per hour. The forecast for tomorrow, Thursday, calls for rain that could be heavy at times, highs near 55, southeast wind around 15 miles per hour. Friday, calls for showers likely, mainly before 10 a.m., then cloudy with a high near 57. And on Saturday, showers with a high near 56. Thanks for tuning in to a Juno afternoon. Stay tuned for All Things Considered.